Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Canes Tire in San Rafael. Canes Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest in part two of our conversation, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. And John, a lot to talk about with the weekend coming up and Barry Zito against Tim Hudson. But before we get to that, let's talk about Yogi Berra, who passed away during the week. And I was really sad to hear about this. And 90 years old, he was hanging around for a long time. But what a great baseball career and what a personality he had. You know, all those Yogi-isms are funny to hear, and who knows how many that he really said. But first of all, the first thing you think about is just World Series, just winning constantly, winning 10 World Series rings. There aren't too many players like Yogi Berra in the history of baseball.
There's no player like Yogi Berra in the history of baseball. No other player has played on 10 World Series championship teams, not just teams that got there, but won. I mean, in 17 years, his teams won 14 pennants.
Amazing.
I mean, there was no wild card. There was no second place. There was no division. There was one league against the other league, and the Yankees kept winning their league every year, better record than everybody else. I mean, this guy's career spanned the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. He was there for DiMaggio's prime, for Mantle's prime, just legends in the game. He was one of them, and he played with many of them. And the dynasty that the Yankees had, I mean, winning five in a row. I mean, the A's won three in a row in the 70s, and that was just incredible. But to win five in a row and to win 10 during his time in New York is just amazing. I mean, you know, maybe another generation that came along after Yogi played remembers him for the funny things he says, you know, the Yogi-isms, the malaprops, no one goes there nowadays. It's too crowded.
That is one of the better ones, yeah.
And, I mean, you can go on and on. It's just amazing. Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. But you know, more than all that, and that's cute, and a pop culture hero, and just, he made commercials, he wrote books, and he's just somebody that a lot of people say, what, just a funny guy, maybe never even knew he was a baseball player. But more than that, I mean, and, you know, of course, the military heroism that was on his resume. You know, he was just a wonderful person, a wonderful baseball player, an all-around baseball player. But you remember the All-Star game this year was in Cincinnati, and I sort of felt bad for Yogi. I mean, they had and this was just some MLB promotion, and they introduced the four greatest living ball players. You know, Mays, of course, Aaron, of course, Sandy Koufax, you know, the best, you know, that's okay. And the fourth guy is Johnny Bench. Okay, now you're picking Bench over Yogi. Is that right? I mean, Bench, just a tremendous, probably the two best overall catchers in history, right?
Right.
But it was in Cincinnati, and that's where Bench played. But I figured, well, why don't you go five deep? Why don't you just say, you know, the best five living? You know, get Yogi out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, a case easily could be made for his inclusion. But he was actually, who cares? I mean, it was just a promotion. It was a way to promote the game, and you know, he deserves everything he got, and he got the Hall of Fame. Wonderful character, wonderful person. And, you look at ball players nowadays, they're just happy to be in one World Series. 10 World Series. I mean, three MVPs, 18-time All-Star.
That's amazing.
You know, a story you and I both know, you know, Charlie Silvera from Millbrae. He was Yogi's backup catcher all those years. He grew up a San Francisco kid, right? And Jerry Coleman, Bobby Brown, they were all friends and rivals, different high schools. Well, you know, Silvera, still living in Millbrae, he was Yogi's backup, and he never played because Yogi caught every single game. First game of a doubleheader, second game of a doubleheader. And it's, you know, nowadays, well, Buster's going to play a little bit of first base today, and I mean, Yadier Molina, I got to hand it to him. When he plays, he catches, and he catches all the time as well. I mean, but not like Yogi. And Yogi later in life played some left field and all that. But just, you know, tremendous person, short guy, you know, huge bat, and just in the middle of everything in New York. And you'd never heard, a bad word about, you hear about Mantle and his drinking and DiMaggio, maybe a little selfish, right? Well, what'd you hear bad about Yogi Berra? Nothing. Everybody loved him. Everybody had great things to say about him. And living in New York, that's sometimes hard to get through all that and be so beloved. But he was.
The only thing that was bad was the way he was treated by the Yankees at one point. Remember, he was fired by George Steinbrenner, and George didn't even deliver the news himself. And that really caused a feud. Berra didn't go back to Yankee Stadium for years. And then finally, he was welcomed back, and Steinbrenner apologized, and it was a big regret of his. And wouldn't it be fitting, John, if the Yankees and Mets were in the World Series kind of to honor Berra, since he played and managed the Yankees? He managed the New York Mets. He got them to the World Series in 1973.
Yeah, he was a manager who got both the Yankees and Mets there, and his one of his teams. He played the A's in the World Series, and he didn't pinch hit Willie Mays when a lot of guys probably thought he should have, including teammates. Willie was at the end of his career, and left-hander came in, and he didn't use Willie in that. And I said, man, it doesn't matter if he's 58 years old, play Willie Mays, get him one more last at bat. You never know what's going to happen. And I always thought, that was kind of a knock on Yogi, and the A's won the series. But Charlie Silvera, going back to him, he had a funny story. A lot of opponents used to diss Charlie by saying, oh, you're nothing but Yogi's caddy. You're nothing but Yogi's caddy. And he was, right? He was Yogi's backup all those years. And
right.
Charlie would yell back and saying, Yogi tips me more than you make. And Charlie absolutely loved Yogi. He said he was his favorite teammate. And to back up a guy and to have that much affection for him, really meant a lot.
Yeah, and there's always a lot of stories with those guys. So, I mean, it's just fun to think about. And I'm sure that Buster Posey has a story or two to tell about when he met Yogi Berra, because tell us about that. You wrote about it. It was back in New Jersey, and that had to be really special for Buster to meet somebody who, he has to look up to, try to emulate and get those World Series rings.
Well, yeah, I think it was early in 2013 he visited the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. It was in New Jersey, and Yogi was there, and Buster was there, and, it was a big deal. The Giants had by then won a couple of World Series, and there's some footage of it, and what, Buster was saying was pretty amazing. He just kind of got a tour through the museum, and it's just incredible, he said, just taking, as a ball player himself, going back in time to find out what Yogi did, his teams did, baseball in general did, and it was quite an experience for Buster, who referred to Yogi as Mr. Berra in the interviews, showing all kinds of respect. But you look at what Posey has done, and what is he was an MVP, he's got three titles. That's Derek Jeter-ish, right, at this age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you look at Yogi, and you can kind of say, okay, times two, no, times three. Three MVPs, not one. 10 championships, not three. And he played the same position and probably played it, at a higher percentage of games played than Buster, who, plays quite a bit of first base to keep his legs fresh. So you don't want to compare eras, but let's compare eras. There was only one Yogi. And I think Buster Posey might be the first to say that.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
I always think about the Berra argument at home plate when Jackie Robinson stole home, and I think Berra will go to his grave thinking, he was out, but he was called safe. And it's just an argument that you're not really going to see that these days. Who steals home anymore like that? But, you know, that was a classic moment for Berra.
Yeah, I think there were two of them that, you know, all generations can forever see. And his reaction to Jackie being called safe in that World Series. And, yeah, you're right, to his grave. He every day he was out. He was out. You know, we had Jackie. He was out. And you know, I'd like to see the manager challenge on that one. I think they only had one angle though, so I'm not quite sure.
That would be tough.
but the other moment that is captured in time is catching Don Larsen's perfect game in the World Series and then leaping into his arms.
Right.
You know, just like a little boy, and just tremendous stuff. He showed emotion, you know, great character, and, you know, respected throughout the baseball world.
Let's talk about the special pitching matchup on Saturday in Oakland. Tim Hudson for the Giants against Barry Zito for the A's. And, you know, this thought came about a couple of weeks ago. I remember I heard Buster Olney trying to, you know, trumpet this idea a little bit on his podcast, and it didn't look like it was going to happen because Billy Beane said, you know, we really can't call up Barry Zito. We've got a roster issue, and, you know, Zito's pretty much done with his season. And who knew that Tim Hudson would even stay in the rotation at this point? He was out of the rotation for a little while, but he's been pitching better. Now, all of a sudden, it's coming to fruition. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like at the Coliseum with not only these two guys on the mound, but Mark Mulder is scheduled to be there as well, so the big three will be in the house?
Well, first of all, I have to correct you. Buster Olney was not the first to actually bring that up. It was Henry Shulman back on September 9th.
Wow.
When he wrote a story that got a lot of traction, and the headline, "Make It Happen." In other words, he did the math, and this is right after Hudson came back into the rotation, did the math, and he said, well, three starts from now, he's in Oakland, and there's this character Zito down there in AAA that Beans not bringing up. And then he just kind of put the pressure on, Billy, make it happen. And then Buster only kind of fed off that Goldman story and did the podcast.
But give Henry credit.
You've got to give Henry credit.
Give Hank all the credit here. Yes, I agree.
But anyway, and knowing Billy Beane, who's not into nostalgia, who's not into that, you know, I'm here to promote the team. I'm just here because I'm a baseball guy and win games and all that stuff. And that was the last thing on his mind. But, hey, Billy softened over the years maybe, right? I mean, they say when they called him up, well, it was a baseball decision. Yeah, okay. You know, Jesse Chavez was hurt. We needed someone to – but he's not going to start. He's saying, yeah, okay, come on, he's got to start. I mean, we all knew that this had to happen, like Shulman wrote September 9th, make it happen. And now that it's happening, it's it's going to be blown out into 3 days. I mean, they're facing off on Saturday. Those two plus Mark Mulder are going to throw a ceremonial pitch on Sunday. And this hasn't been announced, but I can guess that on Friday they're going to put two or three of those guys up at the podium so the TV cameras and all the reporters can have at them, you know, in one big swoop. And so it's going to be a three-day crazy circus in Oakland. And the A's... I think marketing people, who we don't hear a lot of, by the way,
right.
You know, you sometimes wonder if they have marketing people. You know, they tweeted out that Bob Melvin made it official, Zito is starting Saturday, and that's before even the beat writers were told by the manager. But at the same time, Zito was up the bullpen throwing like 50, 60 pitches, and you're not throwing 50, 60 pitches in a bullpen to come in and face one guy. So it was pretty obvious it was going to happen. And then on Twitter, the A's linked to something. You say, okay, what's this? Well, it was to buy tickets for the series. Okay, yeah, that's good. I mean, usually when the Giants and A's play, they sell out, but that's in June or July when both teams are still in it. And how about this scenario? For the first time since 1989, it's possible the A's could eliminate the Giants.
More with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in just a moment. It was time for a new pair of snow skis, and I couldn't be happier with my decision to buy them at Demosport, where the experience was great, and I found out that they not only have skis, but they have snowboards and snow apparel. And for the summer, get ready with water skis, wakeboards, stand-up paddle boards, and all of your land sports needs like bikes and scooters, and you can even get sunglasses there. Demosport, 1101 Francisco Boulevard in San Rafael. Call them at 415-454-4444. 3500. Demo Sport, committed to getting you the gear you need. You made me think of, you know, just talking about Henry Schulman and this idea. You made me think of a topic I didn't even think I was going to go here, but this is something that's been, it really has been on my mind, that sometimes a reporter or a columnist can make a difference. I mean, sort of have an influence on a manager or a general manager. And it, I don't think it's often, but how do you see that? Because there is a certain power to the media that exists, you know, a certain pressure that can be put on a GM or a manager to make something special like this happen. And we're glad it's happening, but, you know, it didn't have to happen.
Yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes, you know, you can put it out there and put some pressure on somebody to do the right thing. And in this case, that was the right thing. I remember, not to toot the old horn here, but going back to Colorado a few years back, I remember I wrote a series of stories about the humidor. And
how
the sequence employed by the Rockies was faulty. How, if they wanted, and there were a lot of whispers, I remember talking to some Dodger coaches who kind of tipped me off saying, you know, the whole process is nuts because they're in charge of how the balls get from the humidor to the umpire, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so if that's the case, well, how do you know if they're hitting, you know, the balls that go farther than the balls that the visiting team is hitting? So it's, you know, anyway, Sabian from there called Joe Garagiola Jr., who was working at MLB at the time, and complained and kind of said, hey, you know, this is not right. So within 24 hours, and Sabian at the time was the longest reigning GM. I mean, his word meant something. And, you know, within 24, 48 hours, MLB announced that umpires were now going to oversee the process in which the balls would go from the humidor to the umpire's pouch. So, you know, every once in a while, when things become public, it's because of something that's written, and then, you know, teams will react. I think there was something called Watergate that might have been big back in the day that had
right.
something to do with the Washington Post or the president, I'm not sure.
Well, if there's something big like that, I guess, but how about even lineups? I remember Scott Osler a few years back, he suggested somebody, I can't remember who it was, needed to be the leadoff hitter, and lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, I think Bruce Bochy actually tried it. So, I mean, you never know what you suggest, how it might be implemented.
Well, it's, you know, when a manager is, nothing's working, sometimes he'll ask the writers, he'll say, what do you guys think? You know, knowing that he's not going to listen to them. But Billy Martin did pull names out of a hat during a rough stretch in Oakland to figure out what his lineup was going to be. So, but yeah, hey, it's a big deal with the big three in Oakland and the Giants being a part of it. It's kind of unprecedented. And the great thing about it is fans who are not fans, maybe non-baseball people who might have read Moneyball the book or saw Moneyball the movie. Was there any mention of Zito and Mulder and Hudson? I mean, maybe in passing, but really zero. It wasn't about that. But without those guys, obviously, they don't get to the playoffs every year. And meanwhile, they also had Giambi and Tejada, who won MVPs, and I don't recall much about that in the book or the movie. But now they're going to have their day. They're going to all have their day in Oakland, kind of a retirement celebration. Both Zito and Hudson won't pitch again after this season, and Mulder shut it down already. Now he's in TV. So it's, you know, it's funny, but two of those three guys had to go to San Francisco across the bay to get their rings. You know,
right.
Mulder in St. Louis, but Hudson and Zito, none of them won in Oakland. And, you know, they haven't won a series since 89, and none of them were there then. So not until, you know, Zito signs with the Giants and gets a couple rings, and then Hudson, in a detour through Atlanta, comes back to the Bay and plays in San Francisco, does he get his ring.
Well, it'll be a nice celebration just to have these guys all in the same place. So I think it's great. Well, John, we'll see if the Giants make some kind of miracle run, and, you know, maybe we'll be doing a postseason podcast. I doubt it. And if we aren't, I want to thank you for a great season of podcasts here in the regular season. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great having you on as a regular, And it's been a wild ride for sure covering this team in 2015. Thanks so much.
Yeah, if the Giants don't open in New York for Game 1 of the Division Series, it's been a pleasure. No, it's been a lot of fun. It's been an up-and-down year, and it's always good to chronicle it with you.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Tuesday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants host the Los Angeles Dodgers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.